with the purpose of building up the body of Christ through local discipleship, national partnerships, and international support of Indigenous missionary activity. Welcome to Hope Builders International.
We'd like to welcome you to Hope Builders International first podcast. I'm Lance Thollander, president of Hope Builders, here with my wife Christy and our very good friends Jeff and Dana Andreessen. Dana works with us at Hope Builders, taking care of our finances and doing a wonderful job with that and many other things. Jeff is very active in ministry here locally with men, and it's been my privilege to be his friend in that endeavor over the last number of years. And they're going to kind of help us organize our thoughts on this podcast, which is going to center on why Hope Builders? Why should people support Indigenous missions here in America? Why should we care what's going on around the world? And so they're going to help us focus our thoughts in that direction, and we hope you'll find what we have to say enlightening and encouraging, because what we do is very encouraging to us. So with that introduction...
What we can do to try to bring a little color to this podcast, I'm going to ask both Lance and Christy a few questions. And for those of you that don't know anything about Hope Builders International, Lance and Christy, I'd like to ask you, what do you do?
Well, Hope Builders was founded to connect overseas believers with believers here in America. We feel that in some ways we're the treasure house of God's people, and we have assets that we can bring to bear around the world that really help advance the kingdom of God. So we work with groups overseas that we know very well, and we vetted them. We know their accountability and their credibility and the scope of their work. And then we represent them in the U.S. to try to connect them with donors who will help them with funds, with prayer, different kinds of support activities. So that's one of the things we do. We're also active in training and writing and trying to advance the intimate way that people know Christ and understand the work of his kingdom.
I'll just give you a little background for who I am. I grew up in a family that placed a high value on supporting missionaries. In fact, there was a time when I was in college that I thought I would one day be a missionary. Felt in a way that I was called to do that. But I had the privilege of marrying Lance. And so we didn't set off to be missionaries, but Lance and I did live in Europe for 4 years. And when we did that, we began to see some of the difficulties of cross-cultural missions. We realized the limitations we had in trying to reach people for Christ who were of a different culture and spoke a different language. I realized that it was a lot more difficult for me to learn another language and be able to speak effectively for Christ in that language. At the same time, we also began to understand how effective people can be who have a passion to see their own countrymen and women won for Christ, and who are called and equipped to do that. Mm-hmm. So at that time, we began to really see the value of Indigenous missions, and that kind of started us on the road, on the journey to our hearts being one for Native missions.
Which is the philosophy of Hope Builders International. It's an Indigenous missions organization. So that means what?
Yeah, the word Indigenous is, the word itself means native to the soil. So for us, we look for those people in the countries that we work in, India, Nepal, Pakistan, Haiti, the Middle East, to name some of them, where God has raised up people from that culture, from that nationality, and we seek to support those folks. We got to live overseas ourselves as short-term sort of tent maker missionaries, so we're not against that, but we definitely have seen the value of supporting those that God has raised up from their own soil.
So how did Hope Builders International start?
It started by the breath of God. It actually started in our den. We came here to Charlottesville in 1993 to work with a large missions organization. I had the opportunity to be the overseas director there for a number of years and to get to know ministry leaders from all over the world. Christy worked with me as my communications director, basically, and also worked in donor relations, so came to understand how all that works. And in 2001, the Lord really started to put it on our hearts that He wanted us to branch out in our own ministry. As a school teacher, I loved teaching and wanted to be more involved in that aspect of it. There were some limitations on us, frankly, in the ministry that we were with. And in 2001, the Lord said, get up and go. We didn't know how exactly we were going to handle that financially, but the Lord used some of His wisdom to get us to leave. And so we started in our den, and here we are 11 years later, still at it.
So you guys travel all around. You've just spent a month over in India. And from your perspective, could you tell us a little bit about the state of missions worldwide right now?
There's actually amazing things going on in a lot of countries around the world. Countries like China, India, Nepal, parts of Africa, Latin America, really are seeing explosive growth of the gospel. In other parts of the world, of course, Christianity is somewhat in decline. So it's really exciting to see what the Lord is doing in those places around the world. At the same time, persecution is increasing. We get letters probably every day documenting churches being attacked, believers being harassed, even killed, restrictions being brought in against conversion, for example, across India, in parts of the Middle East. That's happening as well. We can also say that with some of the women we work with, for example, in the Middle East, things are happening that have never happened before. New TV shows, for example, for Muslim women from Arabic background, from Turkish background. So these are some very exciting developments going on in the world of missions.
So what's going on in some of the areas that you serve specifically?
Well, we are working in India. Yeah, as Jeff said, we just got back from a trip there. And while the gospel is exploding, it's one of the difficulties it's creating, frankly, is a lack of trained leaders. So part of our desire and part of the interest of the groups that we work with is to have us come and help. Let's do some of the biblical training. So that's a door that is open for us. On the persecution front, the leader that we were with in India for the first part, he's on a hit list to be killed. I mean, his life is in danger. He couldn't broadcast, advertise the meetings that we were having there because he didn't want Hindu mobs coming in and upsetting the meeting. We were in a part of India that has an anti-conversion law and is a Hindu stronghold. So that's an example of things that are going on in India. I mentioned the women's ministries in the Middle East. This is so exciting. We've seen live broadcasts of one of our partners broadcasting into the Muslim world, going over issues that women have never talked about before, and receiving calls from around the world live, people that are interested in knowing how to come to Christ. So these are very exciting developments. We work with an excellent ministry in Haiti that's starting schools, starting a new college ministry where they're training young men for vocational training. And so these are some of the things going on.
Wow. So, Christy, having seen the slides and how you were received over there and how they love you and how you got to see so many kids, can you give me an example of something that moved you on this latest trip in India?
Well, for one thing, just being with these people is very humbling. To work with the people that we work with, to be able to travel with them, see the work they're doing, see how self-sacrificing they are, many times at their own risk and at risk to their families, and yet they are compelled by the Lord to take the gospel to as many of their countrymen as they can. And so it's very humbling to see how dedicated they are and self-sacrificing. And to see one example that we just had the privilege of visiting a ministry of a woman who is actually came out of abuse and had her own two children. And she felt that because she had experienced abuse, she wanted to help as many. Sorry. As many children that had been abused as possible. So without finances, without a place to take them in, she started taking children in and just packed them in and started caring for them. And it was kind of a miraculous thing that she came to us and we were able to just get her started a little bit in this country. And we were able to visit her. She has a piece of property with a great facility out in the country in Hyderabad, outside of Hyderabad. And she has 100 children that she's caring for. Many of them have been abused. And they just sing and danced.
I can tell you it was very precious to know that when this lady came to the U.S. for the first time, probably in 2005 or 2006, she literally had nothing. She knew one person in America, and she came to us. We didn't think she really had much of a chance of developing support, but what could we do? She showed up on our front doorstep, and so we got behind her, and over the years, Dana and Christy have really advocated for her. And here this lady now has a four-acre property and 100 kids, and to know that that's the kind of difference that, you know, you can make, that we can make, that you can make by getting behind Hope Builders and supporting this mission and supporting these kinds of people is a huge blessing.
It was very exciting because one of the needs that she was asking for help with was, well, she asked for a cow, but when we got there, we found out that actually water buffalo have richer milk and they're sturdier animals in that kind of heat. So we advertised for that, and one of our donors gave the money to buy a water buffalo. And so we gave her that money when we were there, and she was able to go out with the help of a friend and get a water buffalo and a calf for the children, for the milk. And things like that are just so gratifying, to be able to help in small ways that are big ways to the children, and to what she is doing with them. She actually has opened her own school there, so the kids are able to be educated right there on the property, and they're learning English. And just to see the joy in their faces and to see them singing to the Lord and dancing and happy, it was a joy for us.
It's so much fun because we were actually part of this story, because I think we were the first house she actually walked into in the United States.
And in Charlottesville.
And, you know, she had nothing but a desire.
That's right.
And I think that that's what God really looks at in all of us. Mm-hmm. And what she's accomplished is incredible. Lance, is there something that really spoke to your heart on this last trip over there that just moved you?
Well, I'm always moved by the immediacy of the danger that these people work among. You know, when we first got there to Delhi, a man came from Jammu, Kashmir, which has issues with Islam and up there. And this man had been threatened with his life. They were coming to his house and threatening him and his children. And he was going to have to make a decision about where to live because he was representing Christ. And those kind of people you run into over and again, the caliber of the workers. We were with 60 workers for 4 days. And very simple people, you know, not educated, but some of them walked for days to get to the meeting place. One of them had an encounter with a tiger in the forest that he was walking through, and had to escape from a tiger on his way to the meeting.
On the tree.
So, you know, when you see sort of the things that they encounter, it just really helps put your life into perspective in terms of what's important and where reality is. Of course, I love like Christy, I love the the faces of the children. You know, what a difference it makes for children to grow up in a Christian environment in a country like India or Nepal. You can see it in their faces. So those are enduring memories that I have of the trips that we take.
Would you describe the difference in the faces between the Hindu children that you might see compared to the kids who are in a Christian environment when you're over in India and Nepal?
Well, I can speak to that. That's one thing that has given me a deep love for India. It's because of the difference that I see that Christ makes. It's so apparent in the lives, and you see it in the faces of the children and the beggars on the street, the children that are beggars and adults that are beggars, their hopelessness. And then you go in, and they're ragged and hungry and dirty, and then you go into one of these children's homes where they're clean and smiling and happy, and they're praising the Lord, and it's just like night and day. And so that's that has definitely won my heart from ministry in India, to see the difference that just a little bit of help with these ministries can make in so many lives.
So, Lance, I'd love to ask you this question. Maybe you can, it would be a clarifying question for us. Why should American believers take an interest in indigenous missions? Aren't we creating a dependency when we do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, first of all, it's worth saying that our culture is incredibly narcissistic. You know, we're really focused on ourselves. Everything is fast. We want it now. We don't want to wait for it, and whether we can afford it or not, you know, we want it and think we deserve it. So with a culture like ours that focuses so much on ourselves and our own needs, that's just very limiting. I mean, if your world is confined to you, that's as big as it gets. So to be connected with indigenous missions, to our brothers and sisters around the world who live in areas of poverty and areas of persecution, I mean, they don't have to be poor countries. We work with Jack McKee, for example, in Northern Ireland, who's on the front lines of terrorist warfare. So while that's a relatively prosperous country, the need there is still intense. So what that does for us, certainly, is it, number one, it gives us a bigger vision. It takes us out of our own daily circumstance, which is where we live most of the time. But when you're in contact with these people, when you're aware of their struggles, when you see what they do with what they have, it's just very broadening. It gives you a bigger God. It gives you a bigger gospel. It connects you to a bigger kingdom. And frankly, it really helps, I think, for us to put our own lives in perspective. I mean, we have problems. We deal with hard things. We all do. But it's when you're encountering people who also suffer around the world, you know, on a really basic need level, it just does help you accept your own problems, I think, with more equanimity, to bring it easier to the Lord. And that's from our perspective. I mean, from these people's perspective, we're actually helping expand the kingdom of God. I mean, these folks are going to work. Well, they were working before they met us, and they're going to work after we're gone. Mm-hmm. But being able to help them with a bicycle, which expands their reach tenfold, maybe, right, to get to the villages, to help them with some basic tools, to give them a cow, mm-hmm, that can provide milk, to support a worker so that he doesn't have to have two or three jobs. So that, I mean, more people are hearing the gospel. More people are being exposed to the love of Christ. More people are finding out that there's a God who loved them. So how do you measure that in eternity?
Yeah.
And the other thing is they are so encouraged to know that we care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they to know that we're thinking about them. I mean, for mm-hmm. us to come there, yeah, they hope, they want to get support, but really they are so blessed just to be validated by our presence, mm-hmm. that Americans would travel that far to visit an orphanage, to see somebody's work. I mean, for them, that is so confirming. Mm-hmm. And then there's prayer, you know, the prayer that not just we offer for them, but that they offer for us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our lives, I could tell you three or four instances where the day we had to do something or the day we encountered some of the hardest things we've ever faced, we got a message from somebody in India. Mm-hmm. The Lord gave somebody a word for us from overseas that just went right into a really deep place. So the value of this interaction is, you know, it's really hard to measure, but it comes from both sides.
Okay, so Hope Builders International is a supports indigenous missionaries. What's the advantage of that over the conventional missionary organizations in our country?
Many. We had the chance to live overseas sort of as tent maker missionaries, so I would never say to you, if God is inviting you to go somewhere, that you shouldn't go. You know, you need to be obedient. And if you do go, by the way, please do your homework and find out where you're really needed and where your skills can really be used, because those places do exist. But, you know, on a level of why is it good to support them? I mean, they know the language. These people know the culture. They can't be deported if the government starts cracking down. They work on a fraction of what it costs to send an American. I mean, this whole dependency issue, a number of missions people say Americans should never send money overseas because it creates dependency on the part of a foreign worker. And I've never been able to understand how sending an Indian missionary $100 a month creates more dependency than sending an American missionary $5,000 a month. I mean, that doesn't compute.
So, Lance, what kind of workers are you looking for when you go overseas?
That's another great question. What's the caliber of the people that we work with? I could give you some examples. One of the workers we work with has been arrested 22 times and beaten. His leg was broken to try to keep him from preaching the gospel. But in spite of that, he's traveled across his nation and read the Bible. I think he's on number 125 or something like that. So when you meet people like that, his wife just has an amazing story of growing up in a Hindu background and the things she suffered and what she's done now for the people of her country. One of the men we work with has a PhD from a seminary in the western part of the United States, could have had any number of jobs in the U.S., left the U.S., took his family back at great personal difficulty. His children were bullied and when they got back to India and suffered a lot through that. But he left the U.S. He went back and started a ministry which now reaches across North India. He's one of the great prayer warriors of North India. We talked about this lady Sheba, who is just, you know, out of commitment, just grown up. So what we look for is we look for a track record. I mean, ministries have to be solid. They have to have accountability. They have to have integrity. But, you know, one of the fellow we work with in Haiti was once invited to become the ambassador from Haiti to the United States, but he turned it down because he said he served a greater kingdom. This man is a doctor and has medical work, elementary schools, high schools, church planting. I mean, so this is the kind of caliber of people that the Lord has given us to work with. We've been in their homes. We know how they live. We know how they handle money. We know their background and training. I mean, these are people who are of high quality in every way, both men and women. And again, I have to say, my heroes in the Christian faith are mostly living overseas.
We mostly work in countries where Western missionaries cannot serve as missionaries openly.
That's correct.
So that's another reason for supporting these indigenous missionaries.
Yeah, one of the perspectives I love the most about these two is their message. Mm-hmm. It's what I love the most. And I know that you have to raise funds. I know that you have to travel. But I love it when you guys get an opportunity to go over there and speak and to teach and to bring your experience over there. And so my question to you is, as Americans, what is the best way for us to get involved at Hope Builders International?
Thank you for asking. obviously, you know, we're in the support raising part of ministry, so of course we're trying to raise financial support for the groups that we work with. I would just say in that regard, though, you know, there are so many organizations like us trying to do that. Why support one over the other? First of all, I would really encourage all Americans to do due diligence, you know, with whoever you're supporting. You know, check out the organization we belong, for example, the ECFA, the top financial accountability organization for Christian nonprofits. So we, you know, we keep high standards, you know, with all of our finances, and Dana can attest to that, and is our great ally in doing that. But do due diligence. If you decide if you want to support a part of the world and you have the time, do some research. Look up that country. There's a lot of information available about the status of Christian work in different countries around the world. And find out, where is the need great? Where can you reach pioneer areas? You know, which areas of the world are saturated? We don't work in areas that are saturated. We work in areas that are, by and large, pioneer. There are hundreds of thousands of villages still in India and Nepal where the gospel has not reached. Even in a country like Haiti, with the voodoo that's there, it pains me sometimes to have a country so close that is yet so controlled by the enemy. You know, so how to get involved there? I love the work that's going on in Northern Ireland with Jack McKee again. But most folks don't think about helping in a situation like that because it's so similar to ours. But the difference you can make on a place where there have been the troubles, where there's been this violence for so many years. When it comes to talking about the Middle East, I mean, Islam has got to be one of the greatest challenges to Christianity right now. The ministry we support in Jordan run a summer camp called Camp Gilead, where every summer hundreds of campers are deepened in their walk with Christ, or they find Christ for the first time. That camp's been burned down 3 times. So opposition is there, but yet they're back at it every year. We just sent out a mailing on their behalf. So we're strategic, so you can be involved with your financial support. Of course, prayer is not... No one underestimates the value of prayer. I mean, when you're overseas, you feel the prayer. The prayers that are being prayed for these ministries, they're hugely important. You know, it's through the prayer and the provision of the Holy Spirit that work gets done. So prayer is hugely important. I would say to people, if you have an opportunity to host or to meet one of the foreign leaders that comes to the U.S. and travels around speaking in churches or to groups, I would really encourage you to try to make the time and meet these folks face-to-face, because an encounter like that can really change your life. It can really give you a new dimension of connection that becomes very meaningful. So you can do that. You could actually host someone. You can talk to your prayer group about receiving someone. If you'd like to do any of those things, please contact us. You can get our information on our website. We have different kinds of programs available, sponsoring children, for example, or sponsoring a missionary. These are things you can do on a regular basis, and that regular support is so helpful because it allows ministries to plan and to, you know, look ahead and not be dependent on one-time gifts. Of course, we love those too. Those are some ways you can be involved. And again, we have such a creative God. I mean, He has greater ideas than we could ever have about how to be connected to one another. So as you consider these things before the Lord, invite Him to stir your heart, and you'll come up with some ways that nobody's thought of before to be connected to this world of Indigenous missions.
So if anybody does have a question, they can contact either of
sure.
you two.
Sure, absolutely.
Get on the phone.
Correct.
You're happy to talk to them.
That's right.
Awesome.
And you won't have to go through a lot of prompts. And
that's right.
It's a live person normally. Yeah.
Well, one beautiful aspect of this kind of ministry is we have a direct connection to the groups. We don't have a big bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. We're not dealing with governmental bureaucracies. We were mm-hmm. able to take close to $10,000 on our recent trip that went directly to livestock, bicycles, clothing for children, widows, training support. So that's another aspect of the right. efficacy of this work is just, you know, being able to put the support really right on the need.
What is the percentage of a gift? How much does it go overseas?
Well, that's a good question. Typically, we try to work with a 10% basis. That's a sliding scale. Sometimes certain gifts that we raise, we may take more, but many gifts we take less.
So you're saying 90% typically 90% goes.
Typically will go overseas to the ministry for use on the ground, which is
a good number
mm-hmm. and certainly works for the groups
actually,
we work with.
I'm the bookkeeper.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's more than that, so... More than 90%.
That goes, yeah.
Yeah.
We're as I say, we're very open about those things. We're audited every year by a licensed auditor, so our books are kept well and clear.
So how does a person contact you?
You can, if you can go to our website, www.hope-builders.org. We have a brand new website being launched, which we're very excited about. So you can email us through that, or you can just email me at lance@hope-builders.org, or Christy at Christy.
C-H-R-I-S-T-I-E at hope-builders.org.
Or you can call 434-295-1124.
Correct. It's been a privilege to talk to you today about... some of the things we love, and this isn't something that we just decided to do one day, and so we thought, oh, this would be a good idea, let's do this. No, we feel compelled to do this, and we have really grown to love these ministries and feel very privileged to do what we do, privileged to be working with them, and so we're happy, very happy to be talking to you about this today.
And I want to say one more thing, that you need to stay tuned because this is our first podcast, but there's more coming. You're going to probably be hearing maybe from some of our ministry leaders as they mm-hmm. come through town. Mm-hmm. You might hear some stories of things that are going on around the world. So keep your eyes open for the next podcast if mm-hmm. you enjoyed this one.
Thank you. We also have other aspects to our ministry. I have a couple books out, and one of the purposes of the podcast will actually be to discuss some of those books. So the podcast will go in that direction as well. So our goal is to be interactive with you all and to bring the world of Indigenous missions to you and you to that world. So we look forward to doing that. So thank you, Jeff and Dana, for helping
Thank
facilitate
you.
Our conversation today, and we look forward to more of these times.
Thank you for listening to Hope Builders International. Discover ways that you can join us with building up the body of Christ by visiting our website at hope-builders.org.